In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday of Pascha. The first Sunday was that Pascha, night and morning itself. And today is the third after it, the fourth Sunday of Pascha. Each Sunday of Pascha has a theme that we're asked to focus on so that we can receive and reflect on the meaning of what we have already experienced in terms of our experience of life and our experience of the Christian life and the Christian faith, and specifically already experienced in terms of Pascha itself. What difference is it that Pascha makes? How is life different because we are of the Orthodox Christian faith? Our faith is in God's having made it possible for us to live in a way that we could not have lived before. Now, we have a particular disadvantage at our particular point in history, because some of the most important meaning of the Christian faith has been stolen on behalf of a secular vision of life that is false. Orthodox know about it, but when we come to the West, we become part of that Western world, that Western environment. And born into that environment, or having converted from out of that environment into Orthodoxy, it's very difficult for us to begin to live the life that Christ gave us to live when, in a certain kind of sense, we believe we already had it to begin with. Now, what am I talking about? What I'm talking about is this. There is a Western secular faith that goes something like this. All of us are born with the capacity to live a God-given life. And when we go out and we try to live that God-given life, what we find is that there are barriers to the living of that life. Structures are set up in society that fight against our effort to live our lives out in the way that we have been taught. We have been given the ability, and we're born with the ability, to live them. And even if we make some progress in our life, too often circumstances in the world around us work against us, just like the natural forces of the world come down on any piece of dust that is floating on the wind and it's just turned around and pushed in any direction, we start to feel and we start to realize that we are at the mercy of forces way beyond our control. And so we can lose confidence in that faith that we are taught, that we are born with the capacity to live and fulfill our own lives. The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they guarantee us freedom, and they claim that we are going to be able to go out and live life in a certain kind of way. But the reality is that we find that it's not so easy. We find ourselves paralyzed, paralysis, inability to act, impotence, a lack of the power, the ability to do as we had thought we would be able to do. A lack of ability to keep on doing as we thought we had already the resources to be able to do things. Paralysis is a fact of life in the world that we live in. It's hidden from us by the fact that we are sold a false bill of goods. We are taught a false secular religion in the grade schools, in the high schools. We're taught that we're going to be able to go out and be successful on the basis of capacities that we have ourselves. That faith, that secular religion, was born in the West. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It took something from Christianity, this faith that it is possible to live life in a new kind of way, and it dropped God out of it. And without God, we are paralyzed, because we are created in such a way that we can only live in harmony and in synergy with God. The power to live the lives that we are given comes from Him. It is His divine power. We are meant to be divine human beings, and we can live life in a new way. But the reason we can live life in a new way is what we were celebrating just a few weeks ago. Something new. God destroying the power of death over us, that is what keeps us from being able to act, keeps us paralyzed. Today, on the Sunday of the paralytic, we have two stories about paralytics who were restored and given the ability to live their lives, because that's what paralysis is. You are unable to rise up and go and to live your life. The first story is from the Gospel according to St. John. And it focuses on a man who has been by the sheep pool for 38 years, just north of the site of the temple in Jerusalem. There was a pool long before the Jews came to Jerusalem. And annually, just before the harvest festival, an angelic presence, a divine presence, would come into the water. Holy tradition identifies, incidentally, that divine presence as the archangel Gabriel himself. But the point is that in this world where it is so difficult to live the lives that God created us to live, we find ourselves waiting for the situation to change. We find ourselves praying to God to send some change, if we call on God at all. Or we just find ourselves waiting. What are we waiting for? In the end, really, we're waiting to die. We're waiting for death itself, or for something to happen that changes our situation. And for those who can't see, can't speak, are paralyzed, and come to this sheep pool, what they're waiting for is the annual visiting of that pool by the angel that comes. And this man has been waiting there for 38 years. 38 years, a lifetime, he's been waiting there. And that's his life. And Jesus comes up to him and he asks him, would you like to be healed? And by his response, we can see that this man is totally thinking in terms of his being bound in this life where we are at the mercy of forces beyond our control, and we've got to have someone come and, if we're paralyzed as he is, lift us up and take us. In other words, he doesn't even answer Jesus. He doesn't say, yes, I would like to be healed. Or he doesn't say, at least he doesn't say, well, what do you think I've been doing here, you know, laying here at this pool for 38 years? But he at least is polite enough to respond in the way that he does. But the fact is, he doesn't answer Jesus' question, would you like to be healed? Because Jesus is not taking the environment as it is that we are stuck in, that we are bound by, that we are controlled by, as the ultimate reality of things. For him, things are different, and he's come to make things different. And so he comes and asks this simple question, would you like to be healed? Yes or no? The man doesn't say yes or no. This miracle of the healing of the paralytic has many things in common with, if you look at them closely, the story of the Good Samaritan. In the story of the Good Samaritan, a man has been beaten. He's laying by the side of the road. People pass by. No one helps him. The paralytic has been lying there for 38 years. No one has helped him into the pool. I mean, people know that there are people there that are waiting to be healed. Surely, it must have been known that there was a man there who had been there for 38 years. You would think a good Samaritan would come along and help him into the pool. That's what happened to the man who was beaten and lay by the side of the road. But Jesus doesn't lift the man up and put him into the pool. He doesn't do what the good Samaritan did. Jesus is there to do something completely different. He can do more. He can go beyond what the Good Samaritan did to help. He has come in order to make it possible for us to do exactly what he tells the man to do. Rise, take up your bed, your pallet, and go and live your life. And the reason that we have the telling of this miracle today on the fourth Sunday of Pascha is that that is the kind of situation in which we find ourselves. We live in a world where we are paralyzed by the presence of death. It is the presence of death in the world that makes the world broken, that makes the world the way it is, the way that it is not supposed to be, and frustrates our every effort to accomplish anything. It all has to do with the presence of death in the world. Now, as Christians, we live in a world where death is present. But if we really are Christians, if we really have united ourselves to Christ and to God through Christ, then we are not at the mercy of the presence of death in the world. Because the meaning of the resurrection, as we sing, is that Christ has risen from the dead, trampling down death, and destroyed the power of death over us. We are able to live our lives. We are not paralyzed. We just don't realize it. We are paralyzed by the way the world is. We are paralyzed by way of the fact that we live from that world instead of living from the divine life that God came into the world to give us. The divine ability to live life even in the midst of a fallen world. It's easy to be overcome by the brokenness of the world, the darkness of the world. It's the way things are in Georgia in July or August, and it's so hot that you can't even get up and walk through the heat. That's what it's like to live in the kind of world that we live in. It saps your strength. It saps your energy. It makes you feel powerless. It makes you paralyzed with the presence of death in the world. But the man does respond to Jesus. He does do as was commanded by Jesus. He does rise up and take his bed and walk. The point is, it's quite possible for us to go through all of Great Lent, all of Holy Week, Pascha, celebrating the resurrection of Christ, celebrating the fact that we have been given a new life, and then go on and continue to live a life paralyzed without the life that is given to us, without arising and walking, without actually beginning to live our life. And that's why we have the Sunday of the Paralytic. In the case of Peter's healing, there had been paralysis for 8 years. Well, here's something. Eight. It's in the midst of Pascha. It's put in this place. What is the eighth day? The eighth day is the day of the resurrection. Things happen in the scriptures that are significant, and the fact that they happen in the way that they do is significant. So it's a resurrectional event. Peter is bringing the life that Christ gave to all of us to this person and raising this person from paralysis. And what does he say? Arise. Arise from this paralysis and walk in this new life. Now, of course, I know people read that and they don't get that out of it. They just think, well, here was a sick person and here was someone with special power, like the angel that used to come. Archangel Gabriel used to come once a year into the pool, and it's a healing. It's a healing like any other healing. Jesus had the power to heal. He was a healer. Peter has the power to heal now too, because he is first of the apostles, and he heals this person and restores them to living in the same kind of world where we are at the mercy of this heavy, dark presence of death. But that's not the life that Christ brings. It isn't the life that he raises the paralytic in order to be able to live. He is making a foreshadowing of the kind of life that he is going to give to all of us. And Peter raises this person so that they can live in the new life that Christ brings. Which brings us down to today. We have this reading every year on the fourth Sunday of Pascha during the Divine Liturgy. The Divine Liturgy that we come together to celebrate together. And we know that we are celebrating this liturgy along with all of the saints. We are celebrating this liturgy along with all of those who have arisen in Christ, arisen from baptism to live the rest of their life in a way that they couldn't have, arisen in ways that we can't even understand. Those who have died are alive in Christ. They celebrate the divine liturgy along with us. We celebrate along with all of the hosts of heaven, all those who are at one with and united to God through Christ, celebrating divine liturgy. But if it doesn't mean that we are able to arise and live a real life not under the power of death, not paralyzed by the presence of death in the world, then there's something terrifically wrong. Do we simply come from a world where we are paralyzed and unable to continue to live our lives into a place like this and celebrate the resurrection and then go out and continue to live in a condition of paralysis? If that's the state of our lives, then we have not stood up and begun to live our lives in the way that was made possible by what we are celebrating. That's the message of the Sunday of the paralytic. And the message is given to all of us. Arise out of your paralysis and live the life that God has made it possible for us to live. We are not, as the secular humanists say, born with it. We're not born with a right to it. We are born in a world where it is impossible. And yet it is the only way that we can bear to live as human beings. It's a terrific dilemma. And that dilemma is resolved by the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ and our baptism into his resurrected life, and our ability to live the life that is the divine life that God intends for us to live. That's the only way that that can happen. We are not born with it. It's not guaranteed by the Constitution. We need it more than anything else, and that's the only way that we can get it. So let's not spend the next 8 years, or 38 years, or however many years it is, waiting for something to happen to change our situation, waiting essentially for death. You know, Jesus says to the man after he heals him, go now and sin no more. That means go now and live at one with God so that you can have God's life within you. That's what sin is. Sin is not doing that. Sin is the opposite of that. We miss the understanding on that sometimes too. At least we know enough to say, well, sin is not breaking a rule. Sin means missing the mark. Well, yes. But it's not just a matter of me missing the mark. I mean, we could be secular humanists and think, well, I have the power and the ability. I was born with it. And I was guaranteed it by the Constitution to go and live my life. And if I miss the mark, then I've made a mistake and I go and I confess. That's not it. It's broader than just me as an isolated individual. Our lives in the world miss the mark. Things are radically broken. Things are not the way they are supposed to be. We're living against that broken condition of the world by the power of God when we arise and walk in this new life. And so Jesus says to the man who's been paralyzed for 38 years, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. Worse than being paralyzed for 38 years and sitting by the sheep pool? What could be worse? Well, there is one thing that's worse. Death. Death is coming. That's what you're waiting for. And if you wait long enough, it will come to get you. It's already making your life miserable. So when he says, arise and go and live your life, rise and walk, he's saying walk away from that life of paralysis, that life of living death. Whether it's paralysis physically and biologically, or whether it's the kind of paralysis in our lives that all of us experience. That need not be our way of life. And so he says to us, arise and live your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.